If this morning's readings could be transformed into a film script, then perhaps the opening crawl would read something like this. A long time ago, in a land far, far away, it's a dark time for heaven's rebellion. Although Jesus has survived Herod's anger in infancy, grown to adulthood, and been declared the chosen one, the representative of the imperial power has imprisoned the one who announced the Messiah's presence. Evading the palace guards and imperial soldiers, Jesus is establishing a group of fisher folk, rebels and no-hopers, to prepare for a different world. The Pharisees, the Sadducees and the teachers of the law, obsessed with tradition and ritual, have dispatched the temple guard into the hinterland around Jerusalem. In this film, which I'm calling Heaven Strikes Back, there would be a contrast between the dark scenes of oppression and the light of hope of a different way to live. Hopefully you've realised fairly quickly I'm borrowing the thrust of the opening crawl of a Star Wars film to capture your attention. And I've no qualms in doing so, for Star Wars borrows heavily from biblical salvific themes to tell a sci-fi story. I'll come back to Matthew's gospel because it borrows from the imagery of Isaiah to give supporting narrative to the story it tells of Jesus. But let's focus on the passage from Isaiah to begin with. Regulars at a Nine Lessons and Carols service will recognise this reading as one of those that makes an appearance prior to Christmas. The prophecy speaks to a dark time in the history of the people of Israel as the fertile lands were overrun by Assyrian forces. The prophecy is written in the past tense, and by doing that, it declares complete faith that God will keep promises of returning people to peace and prosperity. It's a text that looks beyond the darkness of the situation of those living in the land of Israel and offers them a light of hope. It speaks to their imaginations, stirring them to participate in the building of the future they long for. An ability to imagine a time of freedom, joy, light, love, friendship, and compassion in a time of darkness, in which everyone and everything shouts hatred, violence and war and greed, will be vital for the survival of those who chose to be the people of God. Using lines from the prophecy of Isaiah, the writer of Matthew's gospel places Jesus in the land of the Gentiles. Caroline Lewis, an associate professor of preaching at the Lutheran Seminary in Minnesota, suggests that the cartography of Scripture is often important because it gives an indication of the atmosphere of an event and the task that's being established. Placing Jesus in the land of the Gentiles in the days following his baptism, the initial moment of noticing who Jesus is, reminds those hearing and reading the story of Jesus that his presence is for more than the Jews. Jesus is instead the presence of God in the world for all people. Using the lines of Isaiah, Matthew takes the listener and reader back to the darkness of an oppressed land to prepare them for the encounter with the light, back to the place of death to look for hope. The opening words of the story we heard tell us that John has been imprisoned. God's first prophet in centuries has been imprisoned by the oppressive governing regime. Such an imprisoning of one who had been calling people back to God could seem like dark days. It looks like the earthly powers might win, that the power of wealth and status might triumph, keeping those who sit at the margins of any society from having a place of being valuable. The lines from Isaiah woven into the story of Jesus remind those listening that in darkness there is always an opportunity to look for light, to look for hope. Into the darkness, Jesus reminds people that the kingdom of heaven is near, and he sets about pulling together those who will share the task of bringing light with him. And just as we're surprised to find that God walks in the presence of Jesus in the land of Gentiles, we are to be surprised by the choice of the first conspirators to sharing the presence of God. They're not people of power and authority, not anything but ordinary, not already recognized leaders, but people used to mixing with and hiding in the crowds. I'd like to stand in the pulpit and tell you that the gospel story is a gentle, undulating story of human life in which our Saviour Jesus goes around being nice to people and demonstrating how to do that through stories, healing and miracles. And there's no denying that the gospel contains those things. But it would be foolish if I allowed you to continue to believe that as being the whole story. Because in doing that, we tame the story. We remove the passion of Christ to establish a heavenly realm on earth, a realm where justice, love, and mercy ensure that all people are cared for being themselves, valued, that creation's cared for. We want to tame the gospel and fail to recognize the challenge of God in the human form of Jesus, who calls out those who are abusing their authority, failing to value the creation of which they're part, and creating darkness by their actions. For some, the beginning of this year and even the events of this weekend hold no threat or worry. Common sense must prevail. Too many career politicians have lined their own pockets and lives. We're too caught up in legislation to live. For others, Brexit and the inauguration of a new president of the USA mark dark days. Impassioned pleas for respecting all people, no matter race, creed or gender. The removal of indications of the worth of every individual, either by the change of the Human Rights Act or the removal of web pages that spoke of LGBT and civil rights. Others still are caught between those two extremes and live in the hope that all things turn out okay in the end. No matter which group we fall within, perhaps we have a shared sense of uncertainty. For what we really do want is to be valued for our opinion and livelihood. And hopefully, as those of faith, we want love to reign in all of life. Into the darkness of human life, the light of hope still shines. The women's marches across the world this weekend, and particularly in Washington, that echoed Martin Luther King's march on Washington, shine light, the light that people are still willing to speak out when they feel that justice is being threatened. I met my sister yesterday, I often do that on a Saturday, and she told me that one of the four-year-olds she child's minds for had written a letter that began, "Dear bad orange trumpet, be calm and please be nice." A light of humour, but a light that reminds us how early in life children learn a sense of justice and a sense that something might not be right. Her words reminding us that noise and bravado can be threatening, although in the long run, there may be nothing to fear. And from Scripture today, we're reminded that in the dark places and experiences of our life, God walks with us. In Christ, the eternity of heaven shines into the places of gloom and mire, encouraging us to imagine the world where the kingdom of heaven reigns, a world where all people are loved and respected, and creation is valued for the wealth and health it can offer to all life. Amen.